Pete Hamill's new novel, North River, is set in New York, of course, during the Great Depression, a time when the Little Flower was mayor, FDR was running for president, the Giants, Dodgers, and Yankees competed for hometown crowds, and guys were named Bootsy, Knuckle, and Frankie Botts. Mr. Hamill's fictional hero is James Delaney, who wanted to be a surgeon, but whose war wound makes him a modest family physician in Greenwich Village instead. During a time when the village brimmed with immigrants, mobsters, spaghetti joints, and bordellos, not high-end jewelry and jean shops and co-ops. Dr. Delaney's wife is missing, and his daughter has skipped town to find her husband, leaving her 3-year-old son on the doctor's doorstep. Soon, a man who had shut himself off from all but the aches and ills of his patients finds his heart pried open. Pete Hamill joins us now from New York. Thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, Jay, it's great to be here.
This book suggests you're clearly fascinated by that era.
Not only fascinated, but formed by it. I was born the year after this book comes out. I was born in 1935. But my mother and father, who were immigrants from Ireland, and everybody that I knew growing up in Brooklyn, came out of the Depression. And they were remarkable people. And one of the points of the book, for me personally, was to celebrate them because they helped get me here and hundreds of thousands and millions of other people to get into the world that we inhabited after the war. It's saying thanks to those people because they were tough and they knew how to be decent in a bad time.
Not only was the Depression a miserable, vexing, and challenging time for Americans, but it came right after a boom. So their expectations were something else.
Yeah. Well, it came after a war and a boom. Mm-hmm. So they went off to World War I, a lot of the men. And the ones who survived and came back were lucky to be hit with a boom, which made everybody forget the sacrifices of those who never got out of the Ardennes. And then, boom, came this economic collapse that affected everybody. The United States, we had believed that all the wars were over, we're on our way to a great, endless, bright future, and suddenly something has happened. And I think that sense is what permeated so many of these people, and how they responded in different ways is really the subtext of a lot of this novel.
A woman named Rose comes into Dr. Delaney's life to take care of Carlito, the young 3-year-old boy who has been left on Dr. Delaney's doorstep. Without giving too much away, they kind of form an impromptu family, which is Irish, Italian, and Mexican.
That's true. The immigrant dream.
You could say also a dream of the Democratic Party for slate-making between mayor and city council president and treasurer.
Well, it's interesting that you say that because I think one of the reasons we're having so much trouble right now with this immigrant wave is there's no longer Tammany Hall. Mm-hmm. There's no big city machines of any kind who helped ease the transition for a lot of the people who came here, legal or otherwise. And remember, at this time, racist laws had banned all Asians, Southern Europeans from entering the United States. Mm-hmm. And so they found a bond with each other, those people. They knew that New York, that they arrived in, was the capital of people who were not like you.
Well, you write very sympathetically in the book, in many ways, about Tammany Hall.
Right.
The advice of an old judge,
it's better to know the judge than to know the law.
Yeah.
Which was Boss Tweed's line, quoted by a judge who lets Rose, when she gets in trouble, lets her skip going to court and just behave herself. It was a more human form of social organization, I think. The Tammany guys, many of them were corrupt. They were still around when I was a boy. You knew the Tammany guy's name. It was better than being case number 176G at the welfare department. And it was a fair exchange. They would help you become an American. And all you had to do was vote for them. You didn't have to pay them money or anything. They wanted the power of your votes.
You also have a surprisingly sympathetic treatment of a mobster in the book. This is Dr. Delaney's old friend.
It's a mobster, ex-bootlegger.
I hate to use it. Well, it fits. A mobster with a heart of gold, if you please.
Yeah. he was a decent guy. I mean, bootleggers were romanticized by people like F. Scott Fitzgerald, for example. Gatsby's a bootlegger. And they were not thought of as evil criminals in the newspapers either. They were, there was a certain amount of affection for them.
At one point in the book, the doctor doesn't do what maybe he could have done to avert one of the mobs from carrying out a hit, because he says, well, those are the rules of war.
Yeah, essentially, if he had to turn in his friend, there's a line from E.M. Forster where he says, if I had to choose between betraying my country and betraying a friend, I hope I would have the grace, I think was the word, to betray my country. You know, in other words, the larger law, as important as the law was, always has a major exception for family and friends.
One of the things I really admired about your book is when I closed it, I realized I don't think I've ever before read a novel where the romantic character is a grandfather.
I hadn't thought of that, but that's true. What I wanted to do was a novel, when I sat down to start writing, was to do a novel that I think of as a love story for grown-ups, in which there's not a sudden blast of summer lightning on a hilltop and the two people are thrown in each other's arms and enact some scene from Wuthering Heights or something. The development of feelings of love are a series of small moments, slight a raising of an eyebrow, a touch of the hand, a sudden understanding of the character of the other person, all of which is revealed not through a script but through circumstances. And in this particular story, one of the agents of bringing them together is that little boy, mm-hmm. because any of us who've ever been parents know that one of the things about having children, small children, is you begin to see the world new again. The child begins to teach you to see again the things that you've become jaded about. Not only about the place, but about the way you feel about each other. And I think novels, more than history, are tales of the emotional lives of human beings.
Many characters in here distinctly either autobiographical or traceable to your family?
Not really. My father lost his leg in 1927 playing soccer. He got kicked, broke his leg, gangrene set in, they sawed it off. So he didn't get what a lot of Irish immigrants got, which was a job on the waterfront. He didn't get that. But I knew people like this, the characters like Knocko Carmody, the longshoreman boss. I knew people like that in my neighborhood in Brooklyn because a lot of them moved to Brooklyn, even though they were from Manhattan. And a few of them actually remained Giant fans in the land of Dodger fans. And there was one Yankee fan away over on the far end of Brooklyn. And I finally understood later it was probably Giuliani.
I was just going to point that out. Giuliani very proudly says, right?
He was the only Yankee fan in Brooklyn.
Yes. Well, that'll make you pugnacious, won't it?
So directly autobiographical, no. But I hope I'm true to the spirit of those guys that I knew, those older guys that told their tales.
Pete, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Pete Hamill. His new novel is North River. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.